Friday. We're getting down on Friday. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, the kid here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. The beginning of the Browns rookie mini camp underway here in Berea. It was great to be out there and see football back on the field. Some guys certainly stood out to me. We will talk to them, talk about that later. We've got our guys here. The Cavs go to Chicago for game number 3, a big one. I think that the Cavs hopefully will be able to take in Chi-Town against the Bulls tonight. A beautiful day out there, maybe some golf later in people's futures. I hope for all of us sitting around this table anyway, there's some golf in our futures. But gentlemen, how you doing today, Matt Wilhelm?
I'm good. I've had an opportunity to jump in and pop into my son's school. Again, walked in. I didn't necessarily want to walk all the way over to the far field and watch practice, but I watched it from a window inside here and got to see. I just wanted to see some of the key names. I want to see Danny Shelton pop out of his stance. I wanted to see, you know, Cam Irving, you know, dominate at whatever position they were running him at. And also, too, just I was going through my roster, finding the numbers of the guys that I want to see. In most cases, it was the gentleman a part of that that 12-person class. And again, it was great to see the sun shining here in Cleveland, the players back on the football field, and taking that first step towards that championship run.
As a player, can you tell in these mini camps who's good and who's not, or is it really tough to tell?
It is tough to tell. I mean, the pads being on are always sets a different tone, but you can tell who's got it. I mean, if a quarterback's making all the throws, you can go, ah, okay, let's see what he looks like when we get some pads on, you know. But right now, it looks like he's got it. You know, I think the wide receivers running their routes, DB's ability to compete for every football are probably very apparent, you know, when you're in shells or just helmets, whatever. Did they have shells on today?
They had shells.
So in just shells. Linebacker, running back, you could see the burst of Duke Johnson out of the backfield, or his ability to get open on a linebacker in space. It's something that you can see, but it's not going to hold a lot of merit because those linebackers haven't covered anybody, you know, in a real football game in months. So they're rusty. They're getting their legs underneath them. And I would say, you know, maybe by tomorrow afternoon at the end of practice when they get those team sessions and or even Sunday, depending on how long Coach Pettine keeps them, you'll know who's got it and who doesn't immediately.
Even on the lines?
Even on the lines, too. Yeah. And that's the one learning point. That what will be great is once OTA start and then you have the team mini camps, is you really understand who's got it. And that way the coaches can truly create a depth chart based on what they take from OTAs. A lot of it is how quickly can they learn our system and then reproduce it on the football field. Who's got the it factor at that point? That when you put pads on, you know they're just going to be the finisher, the killer, the producer. But it's interesting to see right now, you know, how, and the one thing I was mind is like the number of guys that were out there. What, 77? Ridiculous. I've never seen a rookie minicamp with 77
people.
They
brought in 60, what was that, just guys off the street? Or?
There are 12 guys that they drafted.
Right.
There are 4 undrafted free agents that they actually signed. And then, so that would be what, 16? So that means there are 61 just guys here getting tryouts.
Why don't they make it 62 and you guys could have your little
we could have done it
settled.
I know, it would have been great. I would have loved to have gotten out there. So the mini camp is here. We'll have Warren Moon around 1:30. We should have one of the Browns rookies with us here in this first hour as well. We got the Friday forecast in hour number 2. But I was out there, spent about an hour and a half out at practice watching it, and a couple things really stood out to me. Number one, Danny Shelton is going to be a fan favorite and a beast. He was just wreaking havoc in the middle of the line. You could see just how quick he is. And when you see him move up close, it's kind of shocking how quick and how agile he was. The first play I went out there, he ended up chasing a guy down 20 yards down the field, which in a rookie minicamp, if you're Danny Shelton, do you need to do that? I don't know, but that's the way he's wired, which I thought was good to see.
That's the coaches instilling that wiring. For those. So say Danny Shelton does have it, and maybe some of those guys that haven't played football in a long time, like I said, months, you could see every time a ball was on the ground, the defense was pursuing to the football, picking, scooping it, scoring. And it's those second nature parts of football that need to be ingrained in this mind to understand how Coach Pettine and Jim O'Neill expect you to play defense on this football team.
And I think that's important because we didn't see that out of the first round picks last year, which is well documented, that each class, I would imagine, the first-round pick can set the tone for the whole class. And if your first-round guy is not a prima donna and is working his tail off, that's got to rub off on the second, third, and fourth-round guys looking. If Danny Shelton could do this, I better be doing it as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So Shelton stood out to me. Cam Irving was playing right tackle throughout today's rookie minicamp. Looked good to me. Was able to control the point of attack. Guy who was stood out in one-on-ones made some people look flat out ridiculous. And then also did a good job setting the edge. Also saw him get in the backfield a couple times. Was Nate Orchard. He is big and he's fast and he's physical.
Now I'm going to say this without ever seeing one play of him playing, so take it with a grain of salt. But I think he may be defensive rookie of the year.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was Stugatzian, kid. I love that.
Absolutely.
Vince Mailey is very smooth running and looks quicker than you'd think a 4.6 guy did. He wasn't catching the ball today. He's got a little bit of a thumb issue. So he's just like throws were coming. He'd either catch it one-handed or let it go. But he looked good. He was getting open.
What about the Duke?
The Duke is smooth. Looks very good catching the football. Very quick. Does definitely a little Gio Bernard, Brian Westbrook. He stood out. And then, oh, my new favorite guy, Malcolm Johnson. You're going to love this guy. He was playing fullback, some H-back, moving around. Very quick for a guy his size. Great catcher of the football. Very natural. He caught a couple of the passes from Connor Shaw that I saw out there. He looked good. Hayes Pullard, the linebacker from USC, was around the ball quite a bit. But the guy who was dominating the entire session out there was Calvin Barnett. He was an undrafted free agent last year out of Oklahoma State on the D-line. Had a great camp. Ended up getting a shoulder injury. Missed the whole season. So he was eligible to be out there today. I think the veterans that were out there were Calvin Barnett, Jacoby McDaniel, and Connor Shaw was quarterbacking. But Calvin Barnett was dominating.
What's the eligibility rules? How come Connor's allowed? Because
he was only active for one game.
So Johnny wouldn't be allowed to be
correct.
Out there.
Correct.
My question, because I thought if there was any time period where you'd want to get a guy under the circumstances that he's been in, get him some more reps, get him out on the field, get some of these young guys, whether they make the team or not, following him as a leader, that's only going to feel good and feed the proper frenzy when it comes to Johnny Manziel, not feeding the Johnny football hysteria.
Yeah. Now, last year I remember you telling me how fast Justin Gilbert was, and I think it was this exact week. Is Duke Johnson that same type of speed?
He looks very fast, and his ability to cut without slowing down was very apparent. He's very natural. He's very natural with the ball, very shifty, very quick, and he also catches the ball very, very it's very a natural thing for him. Looks very good catching the ball.
The next Eric Metcalf.
Duke Johnson. That's right. Duke Johnson, Malcolm Johnson. So it's good to see everybody out there. You know, you had everybody from the coaching staff, all the scouts, everybody lined up. It felt like football season again. And they look good. Connor Shaw was being a guy who's been around and studied like he did, very, very much in command. He was running the first team offense out there. Vince Mailey was running with the first team. A guy that a lot of people ask about, Kyle Prater, the big wide receiver, 6'5", out of Northwestern. Big, can catch it a little bit. I don't know that he's got the speed. He just didn't look like he was moving around as well as I had hoped. I was hoping I was going to come out there and see Doriel Green Beckham, but that was not the case.
How about Campbell, the safety out of Northwestern?
Campbell looked good. Charles Gaines looked good. They didn't do anything that like stood out. Hayes Pullard was around the ball a lot when he was out there. Broke up a couple passes. Looked natural coverage. Shelton was explosive off the line. Orchard had some good, like I said, one-on-ones and also set the edge in some of the 11-on-11s. They really stood out. And then the two Johnsons, Duke Johnson and Malcolm Johnson, made plays continually. It was good to see. It was good to see these guys out there. And I remember last year I saw Crow and I was like, okay, this guy looks different to me than the others. Duke Johnson looked different than the other running backs that were out there. Mailey looked different than the other receivers that were out there, which is good.
And see, that's what, in most cases, to your point in your question to me about, well, what sets them apart? The guys that get it, the guys that have it, will naturally jump off the screen. Guys that can maintain it as they get additional information, meaning they don't overthink. If Duke's, you know, given a choice route, you know, on a linebacker, or he's learned the entire route tree, and you're giving him pass protections, and once he can take all that and still not lose that smoothness, that speed that you saw today, is when you truly know a guy's got it and he's lived up to the expectation of being drafted where he did by Ray Farmer.
Now, would you say that when you came in, was there more nerves, rookie minicamp, being like, gosh, I don't know if I could play at this level, or not until training camp?
Not till training camp. And in this case, what a lot of these rookies are doing right now, and why sometimes when you get into either group, you know, 9-on-7 or 7-on-7 or team, it's very ugly and really kind of like rickety in execution, is because all of these guys right now are learning just their job. You know, okay, we installed 12 plays. I know what I do on 12 plays, but I don't know what any – I don't know what the other guy – the guy next to me is doing and the guy to my left's doing. You know, that. But all I know is what I'm doing. And so you want to master what you do first. And to also, when you start learning the scheme and you understand why you're doing what you're doing and what everyone else is around you doing, you know, as a young football player, are the guys that will see the field first.
There were, and as you said, there were guys that looked to be in command. They were doing a lot of checks. There were a lot of adjustments at the line of scrimmage I saw on both sides of the ball. So it seemed that they were pretty well prepared for that. Danny Shelton just is going to be, as I said, he's going to be a fan favorite because his hair is like bouncing out of the back of his helmet. He's got a good look to him. And he's just a big man. And you don't have an appreciation, you know, for just how big he is and how agile he is until you're standing there watching it being like, how is this guy moving like this?
And that's why also hanging up in the window, you know, looking out over practice as guys were walking in. That's the one thing that I wanted to see too is we saw them in a suit. We saw him in the, you know, his Washington t-shirt as he arrived here in Berea off his private jet that, you know, on Friday morning. But I want to see these guys in a uniform. The thing that jumped out to me about Danny Shelton, not only was it his hair, but then you look at his calves. Are like tree trunks.
Ginormous.
They're like the thigh of most of the guys on the roster right now. They're ginormous. They're not cankles, you know, meaning they vertically go down, but they're just very large calves, which, again, adds to the explosion of a guy that's 350 pounds.
Random fact of the day, the person who had the largest calves I've ever seen in my life, well, there are two, my good friend Scotty Monaco and Joe Banner. Joe Banner has the biggest calves of anybody of his size, I bet, on the planet. I bet there are not a bigger set of calves than Joe Banner's for a man who's about 5'6", however tall he is.
That is the random stat of the day.
It is a random fact of the day. We need to get that sponsored. Random fact of the day brought to you by...
You have to get permission from your boy DP. That's sort of like stealing his...
He has stat of the day. That's not a stat. It's a random fact of the day. DP will never be talking about Joe Banner's calves in the stat.
No,
of the day,
I don't think so.
Unless they measured out the circumference of them.
I wouldn't think so.
Something like that. Today, you know who's going to sponsor today's Friday forecast, I've decided? Barrio.
Oh,
I
what
love
a fantastic,
that place. What a fine establishment.
And if she's listening.
You've never been?
No.
We're going.
The manager named Marissa did a fine job. She got us a table for 8. So here's the story as it goes. So Wednesday morning, I call down to Barrio, and I ask them if they take reservations. No. Do they take call heads? No. So I said, well, what about bribes? And she laughed. And she said, well, how many? She says, no, but how many people are coming down? She said, 8. I said, okay, well, we're coming down. I said, just remember the charming guy. I'll be there about 5 o'clock. Sure enough, we're driving down to the game, and we're running a little late. So I call on him. I said, you know, these guys are all behind me. They're thinking I'm not producing one bit. So she gets on the phone. Someone else had walked in, asked for a table for 8, and she said, you called earlier? And these guys were like, they lied and said yes. So she gave away our table.
They're like Tom Brady. That's what Tom Brady would have done.
However, she did a yeoman's effort. She put us to the top of the list. We got a table. We were able to eat, and we still walked in before. I think we walked into our seats right as the tip was happening.
We were. It worked out perfectly. They'll be the sponsor. That place is great.
My wife has the uncanny ability to walk in with no reservation on a Friday night at like 8 o'clock when every restaurant in the city is packed. And we have a table within like 5 minutes somehow.
Well, because she's traveling with
well, no, but yeah. it's just that her mouthpiece is ridiculous. Oh, I'm so sorry. We love your restaurant. You know, we come here all the time. And they're just like, oh,
she charms her way in.
She does. She's the best.
But the best part was this, the integrity of this manager at Barrio. She would not accept the tip at all. She did what she did. She got us a table and would not even accept the greasing.
Well, you know what? Your patronage on a repeated basis is probably enough for her.
Yes.
I've eaten there probably 5 times in the last week.
There you go.
That's my spot.
Did you tell them that we ran into a friend of the show at the Barrio?
Oh, I did not. Yeah, we ran into Joe Juravicius was down there.
It's our guy.
Our guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Joe Juravicius was down there.
And also the caller, Scott.
Oh, Scott on a cell. We ran into Scott on a cell.
Scott on a cell was
he
there.
Wants us to.
Did he recognize you guys?
Yeah, he wanted us. And I was like, oh, and there's the kid. He's like, oh, the kid.
The kid's he does. Wife, he is alive.
The kid's wife loved it. Mrs. The Kid. She was a big. She couldn't believe it.
She was like making fun of me.
He wants us to all go play some golf. So he was going to email me. Scott on a cell, email us. Let's go play Sharon. which is
what's that?
Well, it's one of the top.
Five. Both of your eyes almost bugged out.
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe the best course in
one
the area.
Of the courses that I've wanted to play and have never been able to get on. So, all Scott, right. If you're listening, let's make it happen.
Scott on a cell, shout out to you. We saw him at Barrio. I seen Coach Pett at Barrio this week. A lot of people, Barrio's it's the place.
Where is
to
Barrio?
Be. It's right on Prospect. Right next to Prospect right, and East Fourth,
basically
it's right
next to Red.
Okay, gotcha. East Fourth.
Uh huh.
Nice.
Yeah, good spot. There's one. There's also one in Tremont. There's a couple around the area, but this one is one in Lakewood, I'm told, in the ear. So there are lots of Barrios out there. Lakewood nice. Could be in your neck
very
of the
much
woods.
So. 15 minutes.
Nape of the way.
It sounds like a date night opportunity.
Oh, yeah, it's good. You go and you get like a sheet, and you fill out whatever you want, and then boom, they bring you tacos, and they got great jalapeno margaritas.
Okay.
But the first time you go, Matt, you need to – because you need a little bit of experience because, like Nathan was saying, you get a sheet and you kind of check things off. Mm-hmm. You need to go, like, two or three times before you, like, can get
know
your order.
Like.
Exactly. What you like and what order you want to get.
So what technically is
come
it?
Come with us. I'm dialed in.
It's sort
it's
of like
a taco
a fancy,
place.
But you're and I, we don't have the same, like, palate. You're the
I
hot,
like it spicier. No, yeah. But so the only thing you'd have to change is the sauces. I'll steer you right on the meats and the accoutrement.
And they also have Jameson on tap.
Oh, come on.
Which my
I don't
buddy
do Jameson.
Well, you don't do it, but it, I mean, they have a whiskey
cool.
on tap. The Grizz loves it.
So wait, so what is it now?
So it's like it's a taqueria.
Okay.
So you go and you have a sheet and you can like you start off. Do you want?
It's like a sushi.
Do
like
you
sushi.
Want,
you just
it's
order
like
you pencil in your sushi.
It's basically fancy Chipotle.
Yeah. So you start off. Do you want? Do you okay. want a hard taco? Do you want a soft taco? Sure. Do you want a taco that's got chorizo and cheese in it? Do you want a bowl? Do you want like whatever? So you start with your. Your vessel.
High-end Taco Bell.
Your vessel. And they start at $3 a taco. It's way high-end.
I don't know that they want to be compared to Taco Bell.
I love Taco Bell.
Is Taco Bell a sponsor?
It should be.
They should be. They'll be next
former,
Friday.
In my
they're next Friday.
Life, they were.
Well, next Friday.
If they're not a sponsor, then I'll give you my real opinion. But let Gibbsy check and see if they're
no,
a sponsor
no, they might be
first.
Sponsored. Yes. You never know. They're part of Yes Brands, so that's like –
okay. Then
yeah, too
I
big.
Love
too
Taco
big.
Bell.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. Anyway – yeah, so then you choose. You can have meats, double meats, triple meats, whatever kind of meats you want. Then your lettuce, your tomato. Do you want some cilantro? Do you want this corn? What nice. Salsa do you want? 800 different sauces. Fantastic. Couldn't say enough good things about it.
Cool.
Conveniently located everything.
With four locations? Yeah, they're conveniently located.
You're darn right they are. And if you're going to a Cavs game, there's no better place to go before and after than Barrio. There it is. They're going to bring you the Friday forecast. We've got Warren Moon coming up. We've got a Browns rookie coming up. We've got your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Tom Brady, he would have swiped your table, no problem. Anything to get ahead, that's what he'll do. Joe Montana wouldn't do that. Nope, Joe Montana would
what
say
about
nope.
Jerry Rice?
That's John Schaefer's table. I don't want that table.
What
Tom
about
Brady,
Jerry Rice?
That, what about Jerry Rice?
Jerry Rice ever cheat?
Stick him on his
– did Jerry Rice ever
saying?
Cheat?
Stick him?
Did Jerry that, Rice ever cheat?
Are you alluding to stick him?
I asked did Jerry Rice ever
cheat. I don't
cheat?
Know. I don't know. Probably more likely than not.
Yes.
We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Sports.